I want to talk to you today about my big brother, if I could. Now, I'm not talking about the big brother that I have mentioned a lot of times in sermon illustrations, but open your Bibles. Grab that pew Bible in front of you and look in Hebrews chapter 2, because much of today's lesson, at least the first part of it, is tied directly to this passage. Now, the latter part of the lesson is tied to an upcoming event, and that is our gospel meeting that is just 2 weeks away. But the background of the events of the gospel meeting is tied directly to the fact that we have a big brother, and that is Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, and these verses have already been read, and we'll not be looking at them on the screen, but I want you to have a Bible before you as we talk about these things these next several minutes, as we talk about the life of Jesus and your life. In fact, if you look at Hebrews chapter 2, if you got that Bible open, if you'll look back up in verse 6, that's where the quotation from the Old Testament begins, where apparently David seems to be talking about himself whenever he says, "I look up into the heavens and I see how great the heavens are. And when I see the majesty and the expanse of the universe, I turn around and I'd say, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" So the writer of the Hebrew letter takes this passage and makes a specific application to Jesus. Does not mean it does not have a wider application as David made of it. But in this passage, he begins to look at the life of Jesus as his life is applied to us. For example, in the first place, notice that the affirmation is, he was made lower than the angels. Now think about that. He was. What does that imply? Well, he existed before he came to this earth. And yet the passage talks about the fact that because Jesus, if you look down at verse 14, took upon himself the very things that you and I have, and that is we are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself left all that there was in heaven and became lower than the angels. Now you look again at this passage where the Bible says in verse 9 that we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. That's our big brother. Think of all that Jesus has done for us and recognize the fact that as he has suffered and having suffered, God honored him. In fact, the Philippian letter says God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. You talk about all that Jesus went through, and then you get to the other side and you see the crown of glory that awaited him. The Hebrew writer talks about the fact in chapter 12 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And you think of all that Jesus endured, and the affirmation is that now he is crowned with glory and honor, and all that he went through was that which perfected him. Sometimes we don't understand what suffering is all about. We read James chapter 1 that says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation and some adversity comes into our life, and we think it's the worst thing that could ever happen." But you and I need to understand that as ore and gold is purified by the fire, sometimes in our lives, it is the trials that we go through that makes us complete. Not sinless, and the Bible never uses the word perfect in that way, but it perfects us. And so there is that babe in Christ that is a perfect babe in Christ. As they grow, they need to continue to grow. And throughout their life, they are at that point in their life to the level that they need to be. If you live for 50 years or 70 years as a Christian, you stop and imagine if that could happen. And you recognize how much different you will be in the 50th year of your Christianity than you were in that infancy. But you and I need to understand, regardless of where we are on this page, that we are in a maturing process, and that's what happened to Jesus. He was perfected through suffering. Now then, look at the statement that says that he is our brother. We do not often think about Jesus in this respect. We think of him as the Lord. We think of him as the Messiah. But we need to understand that the Bible holds Jesus before us as our brother. Verse 10 says, it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory. It is not that God had only a son. He was the only begotten son. But there are many sons that have been brought. And verse 11 says that we are all, that he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brother. He is our brother. But look again at the verse. Jesus is not ashamed to be called our brother. Have you ever been ashamed of your family? Have you ever been that individual, you know, who'd say, well, he's my brother, but don't tell anybody. She's my sister, but don't tell anybody. Look at this passage. This passage says that even though we are so different from Jesus and so far removed from everything that he was, without any shame, Jesus said, that is my brother. Folks, I don't think it'd get any better than that, do you? You stop and think about the fact that the Son of God, the Creator of the world, looks at us and without any shame at all says, that's my brother, that's my sister. That's an astounding affirmation. But look at this passage again. And this time, instead of looking at his life and yours, analyze this passage in relationship to our lives and his. You see, what is true of him is in many respects true of us. In the first place, we, like him, are made lower than the angels. That's why in Psalms 8, when David first writes this, he talks about the expanse of this universe and how magnificent this universe is. But then he turns right around and says that God is mindful of him, and the application, the generic application is that God has made us lower than the angels. But have you ever thought, in the second place, that we have glory now, and we have in a sense, we have great honor now, but we shall someday be crowned with glory and honor. Do you understand the blessing of that? Gorman, before you were baptized, David said, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And Gorman says, yes. Now think about Gorman, that someday without any shame at all, Jesus is going to do what he said, whoever confesses me, him will I before men, him will I confess before the Father. Without any shame at all, Jesus, the Son of God, will say, I believe with all of my heart that Gorman is my brother, he's your child, let him come on into heaven. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. Think of the glory of heaven and the glory that shall be ours. But look at it again. We ourselves are perfected through suffering. We've already looked and quoted some of those verses that says, count it all joy when you'd fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith works patient, and let patience have its perfect work, and you will be perfect, entire, complete, lacking in nothing. So whenever we're in the midst of trials, and if you're in a heavy, trying situation right now, understand that the end result of that is you're going to be stronger Christians once you get to the other side. And so as Jesus suffered, you and I are going to suffer. Jesus came into the world with an expectation of suffering. You and I need to have that same appreciation and expectation that that's exactly what's going to happen in our lives. Think about all that Jesus endured. Think about the fact that his own brothers, those four brothers, did not believe in him. You ever think about that? The Son of God living in that house of Joseph and Mary, and there are his siblings, and even they do not believe that he's has your family ever rejected you because you were a Christian? Think about the people in his village. Think about those in Nazareth. when he came back to Nazareth. He was rejected by those individuals in Nazareth. Jesus came into this world with an expectation of that happening, for a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. Have you ever had anybody to just turn their back on you because you're trying to live right? And instead of us thinking, well, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me. You and I need to understand, all that is a life's experience training us to get ready to heaven. Perfection. He was rejected. And you and I need to understand that. And then the other side of that, and we've already emphasized this when we talked about he being our brother, but we are his brother. Sometimes Christians have low self-esteem. I'm not worth anything and I never can do anything right. You have a big brother, Jesus. And he is not ashamed to acknowledge you as his brother. Now, look at the practical side of that is, we must never be ashamed to be his brother. You hear that? We're in a discussion somewhere at work, in the community, and people are talking about a religious matter. What do? What's the tendency in our heart? Well, it's a whole lot easier to say nothing, especially if in that situation everybody is speaking, that everyone there is stating that which is not right. So we find ourselves, somebody says, well, what are you? Well,
I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian.
Where do you go to church?
Holy Lake Church of Christ.
Where's that?
Down there on Leo Lane.
Ashamed. God forgive every one of us for those times we were ashamed to say, Jesus is my brother. And ashamed to acknowledge that we're Christians. Folks, the reality is we must never let him down. He's counting on us. He came to this earth, he lived and he died on this earth, he endured all the things that he endured. And he's counting on us. He has no other plan to evangelize Palm Beach County. Did you hear that? He has no other plan to evangelize Palm Beach County. Folks, we can't let him down. And I say that not as an evidence of rebuke, but as an encouragement to every one of us to understand the sober responsibility that God has placed upon us. And we must be like Jesus. We must be like our big brother. What was his attitude toward... Look at our big brother. What was his attitude toward the lost world? Well, first of all, he learned to deny himself. Denial of self is getting self out of the way. Why is it that there are those times in my life when there is timidity of my faith? Why is it that though I long for the world about to know about Jesus, I just won't say anything? You know why? Self is in the way. They won't like me. I don't know enough. They may turn against me. And on and on and on you go down the list. And every time there's a personal pronoun that's right in the way. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's self-denial. But I'm telling you, My big brother loved the lost world. He really, really loved the lost world. And every place he was, he saw opportunities that were about him. The tax collector, those publicans that nobody, you know, publicans and sinners, the words were synonymous. And yet he's concerned about publicans. He's concerned about lepers. He was concerned about little children. He was concerned about a woman who'd had five husbands, and the man she was with then, she was not even married to him. He was concerned about that little physically short man up in the tree called Zacchaeus. When he was there around those who were the enemies, when he was in the city of Jerusalem, the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees and the others that were there, he saw those as opportunities to try to teach them. And he did it over and over and over again. And my big brothers knew that whenever those situations developed, it was just a part of his Christian growth. Everything he endured was a part of the maturing of him as a son of God. You look again at our big brother, and you look at, you still got Hebrews chapter 2 open in front of you. Down in verse 12 says, I will declare thy name. That's what he was doing. But look at the rest of verse 12 that says, in the midst of the assembly I will sing. Jesus is here. Jesus has been singing with us this morning. And during our gospel meeting, we need to understand this special effort that the body of Christ is putting forward to reach out and to touch those individuals that are here. Jesus is going to be here singing. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises with my brethren. Jesus will be here. Does that not say something to your heart and to my heart? That whenever this gospel meeting is going on, the very reason Christ lived on this earth and the very reason He died, do you think heaven will not be focused on the proclamation of the gospel that's going to be done in this place? And that in our very midst will be the Lord Himself singing to each other, singing to us as it were, praising God. We need to understand that we cannot let Him down. Folks, we can't do it. He has no other plan to evangelize Palm Beach County. But look again at him. Look at our big brother with these points below it. First of all, recognize that he did not convert everybody. Do you know how few people Jesus converted? At Gethsemane, on the way to the cross, at the trials, who's there? Where's the 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children? Where's that multitude that just a week before were throwing down their garments and the leaves, the branches off of the trees? Where are they? He didn't convert them. Why on earth do you and I think that we're going to convert everybody on this earth? Jesus was not, listen to this, I've got it in quotation marks, Jesus was not a successful personal worker. You ever think about that in our terms of success? Who's the best personal worker that's ever lived? Well, it's Jesus. Well, just how many did He convert that remained faithful to the Lord? Sometimes we get it all backwards in our own heads and we think, well, I'm no good at this, and they wouldn't listen to me, and on we come up with every imaginable excuse. But you and I need to understand that Jesus was not successful. But I tell you what, he never did. He never let up, even at the cross. He was still concerned about the salvation of the world. Our meeting begins March the 3rd. Look at the Sunday after March the 3rd through the eyes of Jesus. March the 10th. What have I done? What have you done? What have we done? Because he has no other plan. He's not ashamed of us, and we must not make him ashamed. But what can we do? Well, first of all of us obviously can pray for the meeting. Secondly, there's a little thing that we may not see great significance in, but that is we can write Phil Sanders. Whoever's sitting on the end of the pews, if there are enough cards, pass those pews down. And if you've got extra ones, pass them to the back. But would you write down Phil's address on the front of this card that's there on the end of the pew? Phil and his wife, Jackie. And we've done all of this. It's the things we've done before, and it's successful, and it works. And all it is an attempt to try to reach out. Now, you're probably not going to have time unless you want me to preach for, you know, till midnight, to write the message on the back side of this, but go ahead and write the address down. It's 224 Kensington Place. And Franklin is just a suburb there of Nashville. We'll be doing this again tonight, so we'd like to get as many of these cards as we can written. Go ahead and write the address on it. Now, don't write the note on it now. There's some other things we need to do, and we need to take care of. What else can we do? Well, if you're sitting on the end of the pew, pass down these yellow sheets. One of the aspects of this gospel meeting that we have every year is just the providing of food for all of our guests. And so, if you got that written down, got the address written down, now pass these yellow sheets down and look at what we can do. We will be eating together 9 times during the gospel meeting. If you enjoy food, that part of it is good. We'll have dinner on the ground on that Sunday, on Sunday, March the 3rd, and bring enough for your family and enough for others. We'd like to think that we'd have 75 to 100 visitors that day. And so that's obvious. We'll be talking more about about that a little bit later. But one of the great ways of touching the lives of individuals is this lunchtime on Monday through Thursday, where you provide the sandwiches for those who come. If those are members of this church, know what I'm talking about, but there are others who are new and may not know that we start at 12. We eat sandwiches together, and at 12:15, Phil Sanders will present a lesson to us, and by 12:45, that lesson is finished, and we tell everybody, bring everybody from the office, and we'll be finished in time if you get back to work. If you live or work within 15 minutes of this building, come, and you'll be home by 1 o'clock, or you'll be back at work by 1 o'clock. Now, there's about 2 or 3 ways of doing this. One is to bring the sandwiches. The other is to bring the fixins. If you don't know what that is, check with somebody from the South what fixins are. That's the mustard and the bologna. It's the peanut butter and jelly, or it's the other good stuff, the upper level. But I personally like pimento cheese, okay? But I mean, you can just bring whatever you like in relationship to that. And if you can bring cookies or sodas or potato chips, what day can you make the sandwiches? What day can you bring the sandwiches? Then a very important one, that's why it's in bold print, and that is we need somebody, and it would be better if we had several, more than one person could do this, is to phone everybody and tell them what they need to bring. That's an important, a vitally important part of the work, and let's not neglect to do that. And then, whereas before our older members, as the ones we used to call the pioneers, were in charge of these sandwiches, now we're just opening it up so anyone can work. So can you put down there, I can serve sandwiches. And if you can do it every day, that's great. If you can only do it one day, what that involves is getting here at 11 o'clock and getting all the sandwiches made, getting them out on the table, and so that's involved in that. All right, that's enough of that. Now let's get to the spiritual aspect of the meeting, and that is, what can we do for the meeting? We can make a list of prospects. People have souls, but people also have names. When we talk about the lost of Palm Beach County, it's easy for us to think about everybody being lost without ever having a name that's there. And I found it exceptionally helpful to make a list of people that I want to try to convert. And we're not asking you to make a list or to turn it in, but you need to be thinking of specific people. Zacchaeus, Levi, Matthew the tax collector, the woman at the well. You need to be thinking of specific people because that's who you'll be dealing with. Then we need to start using the advertising that is available today. We have two or three different kinds. There is this card that is available as you leave. As you leave the foyer, it's on the table on the left. It's got all the information. It's on both sides, and that is available. We also have these, we call them 3x5 cards. That's not the dimensions of them, but just a small card that has this information, and the front of it says why you should be. And the idea is you give this to somebody, they've got to open it up. They don't have any idea why they should be what. And so when you open it up, it says why and you. These may be the two most important words in the English language. Why, the reason the lives of most individuals are lived without purpose. The you, the tragic mistake of many is the failure to think about personal responsibility. Why and you, the third major point, touch the most important part of your life. You got to have a purpose in life. You got to assume individual responsibility. And so the theme of the meeting is why you should be a Christian. Look at those topics that are there. Contagious Christianity during the Bible class hour. Why you should be a Christian. What are you becoming? How do you stand with the Lord? The greatest sentence ever written. Can God help me? And then 5 minutes after death will be that Thursday night lesson. In addition to this, we've got the email mail out that you can have. Those who have email, if you're not receiving the, if we don't have your email address, then write it on a card. If you're not regularly getting anything via email, then write that name, address on a card, and just leave that card on the pew. But write email there on the front of it, because we'll be sending you an email mail out that has all of this information on it also. There's a lot that you and I can do, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be at every meeting. As we talk about what we can do, Jesus will be here. We need to be here. We need to welcome the guest. If you see somebody you don't know, make them welcome, especially when we're eating together. Don't you just sit with your friends. Try not to sit with your friends. Try to find somebody you don't know. May even be a member of this church, a brother and sister in Christ, who someday may be your best friend. And then we need to support others who are bringing their friends. Well, I didn't get anybody to come. Recognize that you can be so supportive of those others who are brought. And we say one more time, folks, we cannot let Jesus down. God has no other plan. You want to know why 2 weeks from today and that week is so important? He has no other plan to reach the lost. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us to think soberly about the things we've just been talking about. Open doors before us, Father. Help us to recognize that fear of rejection is just not an excuse at all, because Jesus came knowing he would be rejected. And fear of failure is not an excuse, because he was not successful as the world looks at this. But Father, we simply lay out our hearts and our lives, and we beg of you to take our hands, to take our eyes, our ears, our lips, and our feet, and use us. For Father, we have given our hearts to You, and we're just simply asking that You use us in this gospel meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's talk about an opportunity for somebody to become a child of God. This lesson's not been designed in that along those lines. It's been designed to help us get ready for the most important event we have every year, and that is our one time of real outreach in carrying the gospel to those who are lost. But you can become a child of God. You can make Him your big brother today if you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you'll repent of your sins, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. That's us. And when we confess our faith in Him, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if we do it, we'll be saved. We can be born again, born of water and the Spirit as we're baptized into Him. John 3:5 says, and if you're not born of water and the Spirit, you'll not enter the kingdom. That makes baptism absolutely necessary. You can be added to His church when you do these things. You become a part of His body, a part of His kingdom, a part of His army, a part of this that is involved in the Lord's eternal plan, for He has no other plan to reach Palm Beach County. And so He says to each one of us, you be faithful, and I'll give you the crown of life. If we can help you in any way, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?